The scripture reading this morning tells a story, a little longer story than usual, an important story, a story of the first encounter with Jesus after the resurrection. This is our story, and as you listen to the reading of the story, I ask that you imagine yourself in this story having this particular experience and conversation with Jesus. So if you are able, I invite you now to stand for the reading of the word from the Gospel of Luke. Now on that same day, two of them were going to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem, and talking with each other about all these things that had happened. While they were talking and discussing, Jesus himself came near and went with them, but their eyes were kept from recognizing him. And he said to them, "What are you discussing with each other while you walk along?" They stood still, looking sad. Then one of them, whose name was Cleopas, answered, "Are you the only stranger in Jerusalem who does not know the things that have taken place there in these days?" He asked them, "What things?" And they replied, "The things about Jesus of Nazareth, who was a prophet mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, and how our chief priests and leaders handed him over to be condemned to death and to be crucified. Then, beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he interpreted to them the things about himself in all the scriptures." As they came near to the village where they were going, he walked ahead as if he were going on. But they urged him strongly, saying, "Stay with us, because it is almost evening, and the day is now nearly over." So he went in to stay with them. When he was at the table with them, he took bread, blessed it, and broke it, and gave it to them. Then their eyes were opened, and they recognized him, and he vanished from their sight. Again, the good news for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Please be seated.
As you are seated, I would invite you to take out your sermon notes and study guide that you can follow along as we go down to the sermon. I would also invite you to do the work on the study guide this next week. You'll be able to walk along the Emmaus Road the first 2 days, and then you'll be able to have experiences with other people, Paul and Lydia, as they experienced the presence of the risen Lord. And it is in those experiences that I hope you find that Christ will come to you too. Now let us turn our attention to this wonderful walk to Emmaus. We know that there were two people walking on this road. We know that one of them was named Cleopas and one of them was unnamed. And so we might assume, because many times women are unnamed, that this might have been a woman who was walking alongside also. As they were on this journey, they were taking a pretty long journey. Now, Emmaus is like any small town, really, I think, in Kansas or Missouri. It's about this little quiet place where we go and we retreat. And I can just, in a sense, have that kind of sense because that's the kind of little town that I came from. But Emmaus is 7.5 miles outside of Jerusalem. And so for 7.5 miles, these people visited and visited with the risen Lord. We figured that it probably took them about 2 to 3 hours, depending on how fast they walked, and maybe upon the condition of their sandals. And you know, sometimes on a walk, you just have to stop and just rest a little bit, too. So in this wonderful experience, they had time to really visit and understand what Christ might be able to do for their lives and in their lives. What we know is that their hearts were heavy. They had been through a horrific week, and they didn't quite get it. They didn't understand then what was happening to them. And all the while that they're pouring their hearts out to Jesus, he's listening. And that is so key. As we think of our own skills and we think of how we walk alongside each other and we help each other process things, we know that Christ listened before he began to try to help them explain and perhaps unwrap the scriptures and all the ways that the scriptures are connected. And that was the work that he was doing with them, perhaps for 2 or 3 hours. And all the while, we know that they did not recognize him. They just couldn't quite see that this was the risen Lord walking right along beside them. And I would ask you, do you think we could have recognized him? Do you think we would have understood that this person was the risen Lord walking along in this journey with us, having this conversation? Would we have been open to this stranger who would come up to us and just start in walking with us? You know, sometimes when you're on a walk and you're kind of intent and you pass people and you, in a sense, are not really connecting to those around you, but these people were open to this stranger coming to them and having this conversation. And, you know, as I have thought about this conversation for the last 2 weeks, as I've known I was going to be preaching this sermon, I've been asking people about their experiences with the risen Lord and those conversations. And one gentleman shared a wonderful story with me. He's a new Christian, been a Christian for about a year, he said. And he said that he has been inviting Christ into every part of his life and really being prayerful about every part of his walk. And he was telling me how he was even so intentionally taking a year off from dating so he could work on his spiritual life. And so even in his love life, he was inviting Christ right alongside of him. And it was that he was even having his disciple class pray with him about, you know, how it would be that he would live his life and maybe start a new relationship with someone in, perhaps someone in our congregation. And he said, you know, I just felt like God was leading me to this particular person. And he said, you know, I really had been, in a sense, just watching this woman, and I just knew that perhaps this was the person I was being led to have a conversation with. And he said, just a few weeks ago in the worship time, he said, I just felt like this was it. This was the hour I was to have that conversation. And so he prayed, and he said, oh, God, just give me the words to know what to say to this woman that, you know, I won't bumble through it, and it will really start off well. And so after the sermon was just about ready to end, we at the closing comments, Adam said to the congregation, leave in silence. And so there went that opportunity, but he followed instructions and he said, well, okay, God, you know, I know it wasn't the right timing. So he prayed about it again. And then on Maundy Thursday, he came and he spotted her again. And he thought, okay, God, maybe this is the night. And so he prayed the prayer again. He said, oh, God, just help me to know what to say. And of course, we know at the end of the Maundy Thursday service, Adam again instructed us to leave in silence. And so he's praying yet about how God might lead him in this direction. But that's, as comical as it might be, that's the kind of walk Christ wants with us, that we would just give all these parts of our lives to God and truly know how we might be connected in every way. As we think of how these situations come into our lives, there are these unknown situations like this gentleman was looking at, but there's also strange and difficult and awkward situations. There are difficult times when we are in grief and we can't quite get our bearings. And sometimes we get diverted from the conversation. Sometimes we find ourselves having conversations that take us off course. In the series of books called The Narnia Tale, C.S. Lewis talks to us about how we can be diverted. And in The Narnia Tales, there's a young man named Edmonds. And Edmonds goes to a place where he is diverted. Now, pastors and counselors talk about being diverted sometimes as going to Candy Land, a land that really is enticing. And it leads us in a way that isn't reality. It's not a good reality, but it is in a sense holding us captive because of the sweetness of it. See how Edmonds is diverted by the white witch. He is wrapped in this comfortable shawl that she warms him with. And she takes him to a place where he receives this Candyland Turkish delight that really takes him to a place where he is not able to fulfill the purpose that God has for him in the land of Narnia. two recent conversations that I have had with congregants illustrated this kind of being off-centered and yet then being brought back. One woman in the most incredible conversation that I had, and she was just such a bright and articulate woman, told me of her own distraction and how she had been diverted for years by the understanding that her reality, her false reality, came from belonging to the right country club. It came from the connection with her family name. And it was this sort of Candyland existence, she said, that truly gave her, and the way that she named it, she said it was an umbrella, a protective umbrella of a social elitism that took her away from the reality that God was calling her to. And she also said alongside of that, then it failed her. At one point then she became very sick with alcoholism, and she really felt herself really going down a road where she was being pulled, and she knew that this was not where her life was going to end. There was a better purpose for this. And this is how she found herself here. She found herself running to restore and be renewed, and that is how she found herself on the road with Christ years into her adulthood. She said it felt free when she finally had that conversation with Christ, when she finally could be lifted of that false identity and know that really she was finding her identity not in the ways that she had thought. It wasn't about the job or the big house or the fancy car. It was about life in Christ. This is the kind of story that really, I think, so many times it's helpful for our own struggles here in our community. The second story I would relate to you was given to me from a gentleman in his 70s. And he had lost his mother when he was only 4, and then his father when he was 17. But even when he was 4, he and his siblings had been separated and put into different homes. And in this separation and in this pain, he was fearful of death. He was just so afraid of this understanding of and the power that it had over him. And truly, he said he was so angry, he just didn't get it. And so for years, and he said literally for nearly 70 years, from the time he was 4 until his mid-70s, he said, when he came here, he said this terrible kind of fear, this evil in his space. He said he just didn't get how to overcome it. But when he came here, he said he felt released from it. And he understood that there was this resurrection, this peace that passes all understanding, that took him to a different place, that released him from that fear and that evil presence in the corner of his room. These two stories help us ask the question of what is it that's evil in our space? What disallows us from having those wonderful conversations? What keeps us confused? As Pastor Judy said in her prayer, there can be confusion in our lives, and we have to make sure that we're keeping ourselves on track. Some of those confusion and that confusing ways can be brought to us from just physical things or just the stuff of life. This past month, there's been, just in our office, there's been depression, jealousy, insecurity, pride, anger, alcoholism, materialism, the lure of adultery or a broken relationship, the persona of perfection, internet porn, and on and on and on the list can go. These kinds of things are sometimes very insidious, and they just gradually work their way into our lives, and they give us a message that is not the Christ message. So naming what might be getting us is important work to do. And because of it, then after that naming, we can begin our new conversation with Christ. This past week, a young man came into my office, and he'd had that conversation in our sanctuary this last Easter Sunday. He said he was an Easter and Christmas Christian. He said he came just a few times a year, but his wife faithfully came with the children. But it was last Sunday that he got it. He said he was sitting in the sanctuary, and he really was just perplexed at how he could have brought his life to such a mess, and how it was spilling over with messiness. And so he found himself needing to confess. And when he was in my office, he was doing just that, confessing all the stuff and the brokenness. But then he said, you know, I just don't get it. How do you know you're talking to God and not some empty space out there? And I said, well, you're here. God's been talking to you, and you listened in the sanctuary. And it is that intentional listening that we do as we are in our walk, and that we get it. And there's a wonderful way that God has of surprising us. And it's not unlike the Emmaus walk. There was a surprising presence of Christ. And that is what this young man experienced last Sunday, was this amazing aha moment, and he got it. There's a Greek word for this aha kind of moment when our eyes can be opened. And I've been practicing this word for a couple of weeks now. It's anagnoresis. Anagnoresis. I've said it twice now. So it is that awakening when our eyes are just brought to a new awareness and they're just opened. Now, this kind of process can be slow, like kittens in the spring, when you see these kittens and they just have these little tiny eyes and they begin to open, and it's a slow process, but you can begin to know that truly they are beginning to see, and they're beginning to have an understanding and an awareness. And then there's also the experience where the change can happen quickly, like a LASIK surgery, and your eyes are opened quickly, and all of a sudden it's just like a whole new day. And so there are these different experiences of anagnoresis, how we can have our eyes opened. The wonderful story of the walk to Emmaus is one of how God will meet us. Sometimes when we are on a quiet road alone, we may have that same kind of experience. Sometimes when I'm on my John Deere tractor, that's when I have that kind of experience, when I can really somehow connect with God in an unusual, wonderful way. But we know that Christ is listening to us, drawing us into relationship, and just if we can only take the time to listen. What we have to do is just be aware of God's work in our lives. One last story to illustrate that kind of work in our lives comes from a wonderful family in our congregation. Dirk and Karen Hubbard are a family in our congregation who have just done wonderful things. Dirk is helping me facilitate the parents' grief group, and Karen just is a newly commissioned Stephen minister. But just about 3 years ago, they lost their 4-year-old son to death, and they have since that time really been on an incredible journey, opening themselves up to God's work in their lives. And as I tell this story, of course, with permission, you might just know that the beautiful statue in our memorial garden is a statue dedicated to their son, Reese. But Dirk told me the story of what happened to him just a year ago. He was up in New York State on business. He's an attorney, and he'd been up there for a couple of weeks in New York State, very close to Niagara Falls. And he said, being that it was close to the anniversary of Reese's death, he was really just battling that sense of loneliness for his son. And so he was really praying and trying so hard to keep connected to God. Well, as God would have it, one morning, very early, 5 o'clock in the morning, in fact, Dirk felt himself awakened. And he said, you know, he said, I just felt like I needed to go to Niagara Falls. And so he readied himself very quickly, and Niagara Falls was just a 20-minute drive for him to see that morning. And as he went to the falls, and it was 5:30 in the morning, he said, he began to just praise God and for this beautiful, beautiful scenery. And he began to talk to Reese at the same time and just saying, You know, I know that you would so much enjoy this wonderful space, and thank you, God, for this wonderful space. And so there was this conversation going on. And about that time, he said he just felt himself urged to walk down the path a little bit because he saw this little stick out in the immense stream of water that was just holding steady. And he just wanted to go see what this little stick, how it was holding so firm in the water with all of this rushing water around it. So he just wandered down there. And just as he got to where he could really figure out that this might have been a little tree out there, he just saw the fence post around him. That if you've ever been to Niagara Falls, there is this big fence that keeps you from getting too far and too close to the edge. And on the fence post in front of him, as he looked down, was a message from God, and it said, "Reese was here. Chill." And it was in that moment that he knew that it was God that had brought him on this walk that morning. It was God who had brought him to this place where he could receive a message. This message was saying to him, "I'm okay. I'm okay, Dad." This message from God that Reese was here, Reese is in eternity, and all is well. And that little word, chill, at the end, Dirk said he figured that that little word, chill, just meant, "Okay, Dad, chill out. It's okay." Those kinds of messages are what we are really wanting to receive. Those kinds of messages where we know that God is walking with us, talking with us. And surely God has those kinds of surprising conversations to us, to give to us, if we will only listen. Jesus listens to us, and it is our responsibility to listen, that we can find our way out of the confusion. We can find ourselves set back upright. And we can know that we can find ourselves on the steady road again, able to understand what resurrection faith might bring to us, what the power of Christ might mean for all of us in our lives. All of this because we are Easter people. Will you pray with me? Oh, most gracious Holy God, how very thankful we are that you walk along beside us, that truly, oh God, you are leading us. You are listening to us. You are guiding us. You are wooing us. Oh God, I would just pray that each one of us would only listen. Would listen to the message of the risen Christ for each of our lives, that we might understand, oh God, how we might be taken out of the confusion, how we might find our real identity, and through this, oh God, we might be transformed into that wonderful identity that you have for us, that wonderful purpose that will be made known to us. We pray all this, O God, in the name of our risen Lord Jesus Christ, here this morning, because we are Easter people. In his name, amen.